Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ, the Lord be with you. Thank you. So this is the season of Epiphany. Our text from Luke chapter 4, our gospel, Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, for those of you who don't know, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And if I would be reading from the Gospel of Mark, not as the scribes, his word had authority. So here we are in Capernaum, and if you notice during the reading of the Gospel, he has still not called his disciples. This is Epiphany, a season in the church when after Jesus' birth, he is manifest, made known to the world, and we have various accounts of how Jesus was made known to the world, epiphanied, if you will, to the communities that he truly is the Christ. And here in the middle of this, he goes to Capernaum, and we have this episode in Luke 4, but it's still before he's called Peter and the apostles, and yet we're going to meet Simon later on in this gospel, his mother-in-law, before he was ever a disciple. So clearly, the people of the community were known by Jesus, and they knew who he was, just not all who he was, except, I'm sure, a really good guy, son of Joseph and Mary. I'm sure he never got into trouble, never argued with anyone. And so we have it. Epiphany. So then comes this little episode, because for whatever then he was teaching, that word could mean a lot of things. That could mean just doing his duties as a good community of the Jewish faith in the synagogue. And yet something stood out about his teaching from those who taught besides him, like scribes, Pharisees, the rest. Not many Pharisees up there. But his teaching and his word had authority. It stood out. And so then we have the episode as it unfolds. And in the synagogue, there was a man. I love this because we'd know nothing about this man, except he was like a good community member and a member of the synagogue. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, because that's what you did if you were a faithful man. So we're going to be able to plug this in as this goes, a man or a woman or a child, but he was in the synagogue, very simply that. And that's all we know, except Luke tells us a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us?" So imagine in our congregation, something like that happens. Well, we'd all have our thoughts about why such a thing could be. What's wrong with the guy? What's going on? But his words were informed, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Well, of course he had a demon. And of course he had a demon who had been cast out of heaven. A demon who knew the whole host of heaven, especially Almighty God, who threw them all out. And so now here on earth is someone who is from the heavenly Almighty God kingdom. "I know who you are." And of course, when we would know who this is from heaven itself, you can't let this get out if you're Jesus, because you can let this get out and they will all think you are a power savior, a power from God. "You are my solution to every problem in the world, to every ailment, to every malady, to every pain. You can be my solution because you've got the power to do things." The demon understood this. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." There is the name. Lord God Almighty, here in this little synagogue in little Capernaum up by the sea or the lake of Gennesaret or Galilee. But it goes on, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And that was that. We hear nothing more of this man, which I think is significant, especially if you're one who thinks that once I've become a Christian, I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to do everything different. I'm going to be a different man when I go home. Nothing like that. I got to figure that this man might have had other days in his life that were not exactly what he'd be so proud of. But on this day, he was the one who helped make manifest exactly who this Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph and Mary, is. Almighty God, Holy One of God. And so it goes. So there's a couple of things made manifest here. The first is very interesting and very simple, I should say. Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord Jesus, whom we know as Lord Jesus, is the enemy of the powers of evil. And this is not to be taken lightly. This is not a, well, you know, he just kind of out of hand, kind of problem here in our synagogue. You know, this guy, well, you know, it's, well, you know who he is. You know what he does, time to time, this kind of stuff. Maybe, maybe not. But we know from this that there is power of evil and there is warfare. Here in this little synagogue, there is a battle. A battle of recognition, a battle of rejection, a battle of, I know who you are. You're Almighty God. That's what you do. You identify your enemy. The demons know to do this. The devil himself knows to do this. It's throughout the scriptures. If we just look the other way, maybe it'll all go away. But it's not going to go away. It's all bad. It's all evil. It's all tainted. This is not a, we hope to kind of get you back on a halfway house here in town or something like that. And maybe you can handle these addictions a little better in life. I mean, you just got some problems. We can kind of get it. No, this is all or nothing. And that's the second thing that is very clear. Not only is Jesus at war with forces of evil, but he is unquestionably the victor on that day. There is no program of, we're going to try to get you back on your feet here, fella. None of this. It is unquestionable who is the power and the authority in that synagogue. His name is Jesus. And there's no middle ground, there's no, you know, pretty good people, except for, you know, well, this guy. Or pretty, no, it's with evil, with the demons, it's all or nothing. That's why you notice in the confession of the church, it gives you no wiggle room. By nature, sinful and unclean. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what I've done, by what I've left undone. You have no escape. Not like, Lord, we confess we've had a pretty bad week. I just wasn't as good as I should have been. No, the confession of the church leaves you and me no room because it says who we totally are, born, conceived, and born into sin, deserving nothing except divine punishment. One sin and the whole chain breaks apart. You're gone. You're over. Well, it was just two. No, you're totally tainted. Totally. So here we have the Lord of life. Jesus is the enemy of the powers of evil, the devil and all of his demons. He is the enemy of anything sinful and unclean in this world. And not only is he at war with evil, but he is the victor. And he's here with his neighbors, with his community. But when Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him," and when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. What a story. And it said, and they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And we never hear of this man again. And that's important for us to get, because I think so many times we hear these kind of accounts in the gospel and we go, "Man, he lived happily ever after. He found out who Jesus was, and you ought to find out who Jesus is too, and you too can live happily ever after like this man." Except it says nothing about that. He didn't move to Jerusalem after this. I mean, I would have been so ashamed. And yet, maybe I wouldn't be ashamed, because I am one who has received the very authority of Almighty God Himself that cleansed me and got rid of that demon in my life that was plaguing me. Praise God for that. This is God, but He's God who's not just here in power, but in authority, and in the weakness of the flesh, He's here as my neighbor. Up here in Galilee, He's no Thor or Superman. He is a regular flesh and blood man, walking in His weakness as men are apt to walk when we get a little bit older. No abilities or strength to do everything that way, but He comes as Almighty God, and by His word comes the strength, and comes the authority, and comes the power. And you notice how it's not a heavy word, not a loud word, but He spoke. So this is one of those texts that's good for us in the modern age, because we are not used to speaking about demons. I don't get up here all the time and like to talk about demons and demons, but they're all over. The Lord's Prayer, actually, the wording of "deliver us from evil" is "deliver us from the evil one." Luther was plagued by demons, plagued by the devil, and he knew it. And he understood the devil is a present reality in this world and in this cosmos. And yet it's deliverance from the devil and all of his works and all of his ways that we celebrate and that we come here. Not as people who like, "Yeah, we're doing pretty good to get our life converted. Did you see what he did to that man in Capernaum?" I venture to say that man lived a lot more years. And it wasn't as simple as happily ever after, except the one thing he would have known for sure was that this one Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this evil one has no power over my life and over my soul. I might be having a most addicted day in life. That's the way the modern world talks about. I love all this talk going on today, because we're going to become healthy again, and in our community we're going to get them help and behavioral health. We're going to spend a lot of money too. We're going to do that and kind of get them to where they can just kind of get off the street and into the whatever, and get them a hospital. We need more health care. We need more. And yet, we all know what's going to happen. Some of them might do better, but an awful lot not. I have known members. I have had members. I'm old enough now I can say this. And I can talk about them because they're with the Lord now, which is the good thing. But have been battling addictions. In the church, you get a lot of addictions. Yeah, including alcohol. Who have overcome addiction. But in overcoming their addiction are just nervous wrecks, because the alcohol isn't the thing that matters. It's what has brought on the alcohol, what has brought on the addiction, what has brought on the very real life that we live, with all of its anguish and all of its sadness and all of its stresses, all of its maladies. Someone gets ill, there's another one. Talk about stress. Talk about all this that we live through. Think about this man in his synagogue when he couldn't keep it in any longer. It just blew out. And he was met by a word. Get out of him. The word bound with the name. In Jesus' name, you and I are bound to the word that he speaks to you. Forgiveness, cleansing, new life. Even as a sinful human being, and even as someone who may not conquer every addiction in life just because I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, this Lord doesn't make it about you. Doesn't make it about how you're making it through your struggles in a good way to become a good, upstanding member of the community. Oh, we do. We do quite well, most of us in our circles. We do. But you notice that nothing goes to this man. You know, he finally got his life together. I can't say that. It says nothing about this man. This man's fame spread throughout Galilee. I'm sure his neighbors talked about it for a while, but then when things return to whatever, you know how it goes. Do you notice the only name that comes out of this and that comes down through generations? Is the name spoken by the one who is defeated and dead? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so for you and for me today, baptized into the name of the Holy and Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are baptized, and he has joined his name to you so that nothing happens to you, because you live and you die and have your being in that name, which speaks to you tender words of sins forgiven, evil cleansed, sins that have no power over you. Oh, you may still be a little more addicted than you want to be, but this name never leaves you. And when someone comes up and accuses you, as that's what Satan likes to do, of course, is to accuse you and make you feel like anything but a Christian or a believer in God, our Lord reminds us that it's not about you. It's not about this man. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out in every place into the surrounding region. Reports about him. The him is Jesus. The Lord who is made manifest to you and to me, born in Bethlehem, the little boy of Joseph and Mary who's up in Capernaum, a little town that nobody goes to unless you have enough money to see a little town by the sea. That's all it is. A fishing village with normal people like you and me. Nobody famous up there. No, this isn't Jerusalem. This is Capernaum. And he goes up there with his word and his authority and in his name. And the name that has been given to us in holy baptism, we begin our service in the name of the Holy and Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into whose name we have been baptized. And what's the first thing we do? We've had a marvelous week here. Let's all confess what a marvelous week we've had as Christians. No, wait. Let's confess our sins. Because we don't deserve to be here. But let's confess those sins. Because as we do, what happens? The one that, not my mouth, like Jeremiah, no, you speak the words that I give you. This man, this doubty man, this old man, this young man, this, call him what you want. He turns and says, in the stead and by the command with authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Holy and Almighty God, into whose name you have been baptized, who joined that name to you. And it doesn't matter your malady, it doesn't matter your depression, it doesn't matter how well or not you're doing with your depression, he never leaves you because he has joined that name to you. And sometimes there's pretty difficult circumstances in the church. by which someone dies in the middle of their depression. And maybe they weren't in their right mind and all of those things, and we surmise. And what happens is the talk goes to, but she was doing so well, or he was doing so well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Because the only word we have with certainty from this scripture is that he has joined his name to you and to me and for the sins of the world. As he gave himself over into the death that you and I are headed certainly for. And he overcame that death not through his power, but through his weakness of receiving your sins and my sins upon himself. Once and for all, he died for you. So that when we come to church, yes, indeed, we can now celebrate Easter, even on our most depressed days. Because it isn't about how good we're doing today and how good we're feeling the vibes today. Man, I just love Easter. It's about him and what he has joined to you, even on your worst, worst days. Like this man in the synagogue at Capernaum. He found out what you and I know. This Lord is for you. And this Lord speaks his word now, his word by his authority to this bread and wine, this body and blood for you, for the forgiveness of all sins, which means life. Life through the thick and thin in his name. All has been defeated by him for you, and he never leaves you without that name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.